Laurel Ruggles. Laurel is the Vice President of Marketing and Community Health Improvement in Northeastern Vermont Regional Hospital. She has been the project manager for the St. Johnsbury Blueprint for Health and is the architect of their local community health team. She chairs the St. Johnsbury Area Fit and Healthy Coalition and heads up a team working with the Prevention Research Center at the, okay, come over here and read this.
I'm going to talk about that.
Okay, she'll introduce the rest of herself. Laura.
Thank you.
Thanks. I have a co-presenter today, is Rudy Fedrici, and when we get to Rudy's part, he'll tell you a little bit more about himself. Neither Rudy or I have anything to disclose. And this is our objective for today, describe how active learning collaboratives can facilitate community-based participatory research. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about us. We do work with the Prevention Research Center at Dartmouth. If you're not familiar with that, it's a CDC designation. There are 37 prevention research centers around the country. Our focus is on improving cardiovascular health. The thing that makes the Dartmouth PRC a little different is they work with three communities in two different states, in Vermont and New Hampshire. Dartmouth is located in Lebanon, which is the green star there, and then the three other communities are represented. I'm from St. Johnsbury, Vermont, and the red star. Rudy's from Keene, the more purple star, and then we also have Manchester. So we're about... just so you see, we're not that close to each other, but we're all about an hour and 15 minutes from Lebanon. And I'm going to give you just a little brief outline of our different communities, starting with Manchester. The city of Manchester has a population of about 110,000 people, and it's the most diverse city in the entire state of New Hampshire, both in terms of race and ethnicity, and also social influence of health, like poverty. In fact, in the city's most impoverished neighborhoods, heart disease mortality is double the rate of that in the less impoverished neighborhoods. In Keene, where Rudy comes from, it's in Cheshire County in New Hampshire. That county has about 77,000 people and includes Keene and then also 23 surrounding towns. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of mortality and morbidity in that county. And for risk factors, 28% of adults have high blood pressure, and about two-thirds of adults are overweight or obese. And then I come from Vermont, and we used our hospital service area as our community, and we're just under 30,000 people spread out over 18 smaller towns and villages, so it's very rural. Poverty is our biggest health disparity. We have 35% of people living at or below 200% of the federal poverty line. And the prevalence of cardiovascular disease is about 10% compared to state average of 7%. And one of the reasons that Dartmouth decided to work with us or asked to work with us is because each one of our communities has a very active community coalition where we address preventing cardiovascular disease through healthy eating and active living interventions. And I also want to take a minute to acknowledge some of our partners at Dartmouth, Dottie Bezos and Karen Schipperdecker, and also partners in Manchester, Jamie Hobicki, and Rudy's colleague, Yvonne Goldsberry in Keene. So if you're not familiar with active learning collaboratives, they actually come out of the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, the IHI, and their Breakthrough Series Collaborative. These collaboratives were started at IHI in 1995, and their goal is to improve health by supporting change, because we all know how difficult it is to change. They support change by creating a structure where organizations can learn from each other, as well as experts in the topic of interest. The collaboratives are usually short-term. They take about 6 to 15 months, and the teams come together, and then they work on a focused topic and a shared aim. These are the really key components of active learning collaboratives, and you can see how they really fit well with the principles of community-based participatory research. There's really something for everyone here. For the more research side, we do collect data and use evidence-based practices. And then also there's the more practical application of how to make and sustain change that results in improved health. And I did leave a handout in the back of the room for everyone, and it's also, I think it's going to be posted on the conference website, where we did a crosswalk showing the CBR principles and how they relate to the two active learning collaboratives that we have done so far. So the first active learning collaborative was in 2011, and each of our communities sent a core leadership team from our coalition to represent the coalition at the collaborative. And prior to meeting together, we worked with the researchers to compile the data from our area about the prevalence of heart disease and some of the other demographic characteristics of our communities. We all had that shared aim of preventing cardiovascular disease, but we each had a very different approach, and our approach was tailored to our individual community's needs and wants. From our area, we worked with a local manufacturing group around a worksite wellness initiative. In Manchester, they did environmental policy, they did a built environment intervention. And Rudy's going to tell you more about what they did in Keene, but they had a increased community awareness around blood pressure control. So we met four times in about a 12-month period. We met at each one of the sites, so we spread it around. And then true to the IHI model, the active learning collaboratives were this combination of learning from the experts at the PRC about evidence-based practice in health disease prevention, and then also the process improvement techniques. But then we also learned from each other, because we all brought our own level of expertise, and then also we learned from sharing our experiences. And then prior to our second active learning collaborative, we worked with the PRC for about 8 months to develop a curriculum right from scratch for a community-based program called In Shape Together. The curriculum was based, again, on this IHI model of improvement to improve health by supporting change. But in this case, rather than change within an organization, it was change at the individual level. So the individuals, we sort of helped them through the process of being more healthy, eating more healthy, and being more active. So we adopted the key components of the active learning collaboratives and applied them to individuals to help them be more healthy. So each individual selected their own aim and their own process for success. So now Rudy's going to tell you some specific experiences that they had in his community of Keene, New Hampshire.
Good morning. I'm the only thing between us and lunch, I think, so. My name is Rudy Fedrizzi. I'm a physician, and I have a wonderful job. My job is I'm director of community health clinical integration at Cheshire Medical Center, Dartmouth, Hitchcock, and Keene. And what that is I get to think about every day how to link our medical system with our public health resources, our community partners, as well as activated individuals of our community. Now, what I'm to speak about is the power of active learning collaboratives and learning a bit about improvement science and also community-based participatory research, because I'm a physician, right? And there's no more siloed preparation that you receive than learning to be a doctor. And so if you know the joke of, you know, what's the difference between a doctor and God? You ever heard that? God doesn't think he's a doctor, right? So this is partly a story of a quick story of our community's capacity building, but also my own personal capacity. I have no public health background, and yet my work is very much centered in the public health world. And so part of what we learned through this process and through this participatory research activity was the community improvement process model of the Institute of Medicine. And those of you who know that model, it's a 10-step model. It involves some things like creating multi-sector teams and investigating the burden of disease, your local context, creating aims, thinking about what's existing in your community, but also what's possible in best practice intervention. Also about measurement and and accountability and evaluation, and ultimately doing small tests of change. And that was all new to me, but it was very powerful. And so we're also fortunate in our community to have a healthy community initiative that's 7 years old and has seven more years to go, because by 2020 our region is hoped to be the healthiest community in the nation, called the Healthy Monadnock 2020. So got a lot of reasons to learn quickly and borrow and then do good work. And so I wanted to show you how this action learning process, as well as community-based participatory research, has helped us to really up our game. So we've took what we learned and we approached another academic partner, Keene State College, which is our local state college, and we began a coalition building process, a community-based action process that you can hear about tomorrow at noontime, about a breastfeeding initiative where we did a project where we interviewed 300 WIC mothers throughout our region, took what we learned, and energized our community around a community-based action plan around breastfeeding promotion for both continuation and initiation of breastfeeding. So we didn't just learn it, we actually applied it. And we also took the skills that we learned, especially on evaluation and the relationships we had with Dartmouth, and we improved some of our projects in our community. We have a menu labeling project called Turn a New Leaf, where it's a simple labeling where you want to know what to eat, you look for the hearts and leaves on a menu, and you eat the more hearts and more leaves, that's the better for you. We did some evaluation, more sophisticated evaluation with that because of what we learned. We also have a cholesterol self-management project in our community that was enhanced by the sophistication of our evaluation skills. Relationship is everything in what we do there, and so we took that community that community health improvement process framework, and like we do with a lot of things, we borrowed it, adapted it, stole it, and we changed it, and we created a 12-step framework for community health improvement in the population health frame, and that is really the way that we do community health improvement now in our community. Community, everything we do is very systematic and involves academic, medical, and community partners as well as individuals. And we're having great success. And so the project that we actually did as part of the Action Learning Collaborative 1 that Laurel mentioned in our community involved some interesting things. We created a small wallet, simple wallet card that people can carry around, which is based on sort of a know your numbers concept around blood pressure. We thought that was an interesting thing. We tested it in 50 people. We saw that it actually seemed to have some potential to work. We expanded, adapted it. There now are something like 60,000 of those cards floating around in New Hampshire, for instance. And we took what was really a challenging clinical problem, which was optimal control of blood pressure in our population, about 12,000 people with hypertension. When we started this project, 68% were in adequate control. And that's quite good compared to the nation, where we are around 50% adequate control. But 68, well, obviously wasn't good enough for the healthiest community in the nation. And over the course of these several years, we are now around 86% adequate control out of 12,000 patients in our community. It's an 18% improvement in less than 3 years. That's pretty powerful when you bring this approach to solving problems together. So I have to say, I think of this much more as community-based participatory action than research. So I think they need the A at the end of CBPRA, that the research has to lead to action. Manchester and St. Johnsbury, our sister cities, would have similar stories of how powerful it was to have gone through this process, to learn this process and apply this process. The sustainability of this process in our community is that it works and that people like it. I don't have as many sort of negatives about the process, because I think people want to be involved, people want to be engaged, and this allows that. Colleges and universities are tremendous partners. And when I was in college and in university, I don't recall ever being asked to interact with research that would actually impact the community in which I lived. And that's very powerful. So if we're going to break for lunch, there's not much time for questions, I know, but if you'd like to talk to Laurel and I about how you can adapt our model, bring it to your community, learn these concepts and have an impact on your community, we're very welcome to stay and talk with you. Thank you.
Wow, that's never happened. Three of the presentations were under time. That's amazing. Let's give a round of applause for all of our presenters.